3 weeks ago, Las Cruces Public Schools Superintendent Ralph Ramos was on KRWG News This Week with Fred Martino.
We comply with, the Department of Health, as well as the New Mexico PED Department, are looking at the CDC guidelines and trying to adjust, accordingly to what our needs are in our state. And that's what we've been following all along. And, the thing that's made it really challenging has been the toolkit changing periodically as we've lived and rode and weathered this storm of COVID.
And things changed since then. Today, Superintendent Ramos is on Voice of the Public to answer your questions and talk about how the district is starting a new school year in the safest way possible. 575-646-2212. We'll get started right after NPR News on KRWG Public Media. It's 106. Good afternoon. This is Casey Counts with Voice of the Public from KRWG Public Media, our weekend call-in show and our weekly call-in show, I should say. The weekend is almost here, though. It's Friday the 13th. We'll hope for the best as we welcome Las Cruces Public Schools Superintendent Ralph Ramos. Good afternoon, Mr. Ramos. Thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to just try to be here today and try to explain to people what's going on in Las Cruces Public Schools. A lot of cool things happening.
Well, right before the news, we played some audio from your last appearance on KRWG on KRWG News This Week with Fred Martino. And you were talking about one of the challenges along the way and how your toolkit for handling COVID-19 just keeps changing. And in fact, since then, there were some more changes in terms of what the mask guidelines would be. So tell us where we are today.
I tell you what, we're actually in a really safe place. But, before I get started into today, let's reflect on, what's happened already and where we've been. Where were we a year ago? Kids were in hybrid learning. They were in remote settings. They were all at home. We're just trying to get everything together and really organized and figured out with a new way to learn. And, just a lot of things were totally different. But today is a celebration of having kids on campus in person. We've given students and families a choice to either come back in person or virtually. So that's a celebration to me how we're doing business today.
Obviously, there are probably more previous to the pandemic, a lot more families that are opting for virtual learning. So let's talk a little bit about the Virtual Learning Academy through the Las Cruces Public School District. What does that mean for families who do opt to use it?
You bet. In fact, Virtual Learning Academy has been around for over 10 years. And one of the cool things about it is that other districts throughout the state are actually looking at our program and how we're actually meeting the needs of students that select to go with this virtual learning type from home. So, but it's been really good because we allocated originally back in, it was around April, we started surveying and trying to seek out who's going to be interested in doing this when we return possibly next fall. Well, obviously the fall's here. The data showed back then that we had 1,100 students that were wanting to go virtually. So obviously we had to plan for that to be ready. And since then, the numbers went down to about 275 to 300, varying on date at the start of our summer. Well, as this new mask mandate started kicking in, and also, our COVID numbers starting to increase with this new variant and whatnot, our numbers have increased from day one. In fact, we're right now sitting at about 800 students that are virtually learning at the academy. So, that's grown a little bit. We're doing great with the numbers. And just like every school year, we're always trying to balance our in the classroom numbers and trying to accommodate every individual needs from, even gen ed students to special education to just really doing what's best for each individual student.
How is the Virtual Learning Academy different from the hybrid learning model we saw during the pandemic?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. Virtual learning has had, these courses already established. And they pretty much go through these computer programs, learning the curriculum, things like that, as well as a teacher there to support them during this learning process. Whereas last semester, when we did come back, our teachers were in the classroom teaching students possibly in person as well as remotely, and just engaging students directly from our Canvas platform, where students would be able to interact and turn in assignments and really use the same platform that we have actually in every classroom, even in person on campus, as well as VLA currently.
575-646-2212 is the telephone number to call. Las Cruces Public Schools Superintendent Ralph Ramos on the line with us today to answer your questions about a new school year while we have the Delta variant causing great concern for many in our community. And I'd like to move on next to talk about what in-classroom learning is looking like in terms of what are the safety measures the district is taking, mask wearing and other safety measures included.
You bet. In fact, it really starts at home whenever, we have our parents really assess and do a wellness check on our students, prior to even leaving home. To me, that's important. If a student is not feeling well, just have them stay home. And call the school, let them know that they're going to stay home. And that's pretty much what it takes. It's that simple. But let's say that your student does leave home. They walk to the bus stop. They get on a bus. They will have to mask while they're in a bus. We're trying to have and accommodate all our students to no more than two students per seat. As when they do arrive on campus, of course, they're outside. They don't have to wear a mask. While they're approaching the indoors, let's say a courtyard, when they walk onto that courtyard, we are going to have a grab-and-go lunch offered to every student. It varies a little bit depending. Let's say it's an elementary kid. A student picks up their grab-and-go lunch, goes directly into class for the most part. Middle school and high school, a little bit different with that, but we're definitely accommodating the needs for each individual when they arrive on campus. Once they enter any building, they will have to wear a mask, and that goes for all students as well as staff, anybody indoors, visitors, or anyone who does come on campus.
Mr. Ramos, do you have some current numbers in terms of how many of the staff of Las Cruces Public Schools at this point have been vaccinated?
The last data point we had about 80% of our staff that was vaccinated, and that's really a celebration. And to me, that makes a huge difference for safety. And some that aren't getting vaccinated might have some accommodations that they need, and we're working with each individual based on their need, whether they're an adult or a student, those type of things. But 70%. And actually I stand corrected. It is 70%. I believe I said 80%. It's 70% of our staff that are vaccinated.
And are there testing requirements for those who have not been vaccinated or don't wish to be?
Absolutely. In fact, we have surveillance testing that's taking place currently with those that are not vaccinated. And right now we're also looking at our New Mexico PED toolkit. We're also examining that and, really trying to align with that. But on the other hand, I'm looking at possibly even surveillance testing some of our vaccinated staff as well, and get a random rotation system going on with that, just due to the fact that we are having some cases that some adults that have been vaccinated, as well as students that have been vaccinated, are turning positive. And really, of the 13 cases this week, which is less than one half of 1% of our student population, 11 are students, four of which had not been at school, which is a good celebration. But we want to try to keep track of all that data and really just do what's best for safety of kids.
How do you define surveillance testing?
Well, surveillance testing is we have a testing unit where it's pretty simple. We have, of course, our staff list of members. We randomly select those. They get on a four-week rotation period, and we send them a testing kit. And then they pretty much take the kit at home. It's basically spitting saliva into a test tube, and we send it off, and we get the results pretty quick. I believe it's within like 24 hours. So that's the data that we're constantly monitoring with that. And really, I know last semester, even when this variant wasn't around, we did find some, you know, staff members that were testing positive through that surveillance testing format.
Well, and obviously the concern with one of the great concerns with the Delta variant is the number of people who are fully vaccinated who are still contracting the virus and carrying that heavy viral load and being able to transmit the virus. And so we had that change in the CDC recommendations for masks. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about that and your position as a superintendent and what it's like to be a superintendent in New Mexico versus, say, our neighbors, Texas, where the governor, by executive order, wrested any decision-making power from local officials. And some of the state's largest school districts are defying that and requiring masks. And it really looks like it has, you know, created a very difficult situation for those superintendents. What are your thoughts when you see what they're going through?
Definitely some challenging times. But, you know, first of all, I do want to thank our school board because, you know, they've been really active and also part of this decision making. But really, when it boiled down to the data, and the data drives the need and the need drives the change. And as we assess the toolkit from the New Mexico Department of Education that came down with collaboration, of course, looking at the CDC guidelines, Department of Health, all coming in, the data came to us, all the information came to us at the school board meeting last week. And that evening, the school board had some time to, you know, discuss, but they never really had it. It was not an action item, but at the end of the day, it was on my shoulders. And that's what makes it really difficult. But I went ahead and supported what I was hearing and what I'm listening to. And that's taking the extra precaution for not only students, but kids and all our campuses. And I'd rather take that safe route. And that's why we decided to go ahead and mask everybody up K-12, whether you're over 12 years of age and not vaccinated or vaccinated. You know, it's kind of hard to monitor that piece. And I think just making a blanket coverage of masking up really, I think, is going to meet most needs of everyone. You know, there are those individual needs that are popping up with medical doctors notices and whatnot that we're working with those individuals. But for the most part, it's working. I know that the numbers are still out there, and but just definitely some challenging times. But I'm hoping to be more safe than not.
575-646-2212. This is Voice of the Public, Las Cruces Public Schools Superintendent Ralph Ramos on the program today. If you have questions, call now. We'd love to hear from you. You might be watching along on Facebook, so we invite you to leave a question or comment on Facebook as well, if that is easier for you. We're happy to have you join the program in any way you can. So let's talk about efforts. We've seen some pretty massive efforts on a statewide level to try to get people vaccinated, from million-dollar prizes and on down the line. What is the district doing, and the PED for that matter, to try to increase the number of vaccinated students 12 and over?
You know, we're doing the very best that we can. We've definitely been encouraging people to vaccinate. I think, really, according to the experts, the medical experts. And that's one thing that I really want to make clear is that I base my data on science, medical experts. That's not my business. My business is educating students. So I need to rely on our medical experts, and vaccinations are still our best line of defense in creating a safe learning environment at school. And I know that Las Cruces Public Schools will have a vaccination clinic Wednesday, August 25th at Las Cruces High School from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Also eligible are staff and students, as well as people out in the community. So really all you need to do is come by any of our schools, see the school nurse, or go online to our website and you can get more information. But we're trying to also have these clinics available to our community, Doñana County as well, anyone to, you know, just pretty much come out and get vaccinated. It, again, the medical experts say that's really our best fight, you know, on this pandemic.
And in just about every community, there certainly have been a group of vocal parents, and maybe in some cases educators too, who argue against the requirement to wear masks. What are you hearing from those folks, and has it made things more difficult for you?
You know, part of being in education is, and this year really our trend and our theme has been creating a culture for living and learning. And, you know, a lot of the staff core values that we live with as adults, you know, is to build positive and honest relationships through communication. Okay, so really we believe that, you know, we have a model to promote collective practice. And to me, I have to listen to both sides of the issue here. And, you know, I know that we don't agree. You know, some people, we don't have to be masking and all these issues. You know, I got to be honest with you. Everybody's been very professional, and I really respect that. And that just goes to show that, you know, they're in it for the kids. I know that I respect their strong opinions on matters. It's hard to really please everyone. And I think that people have, in the most part, been very respectful, and I honor that. And to me, it's important to let us know how you feel on that. And again, I just want to remind everyone that I do look at the CDC changing, and normally there's like a lag time where our New Mexico Department of Education lags to make a change towards, you know, the compliance of CDC guidelines. But eventually it comes out our way. And when it does come to us, we have to analyze that and follow those recommendations. And again, try to do what's best for the safety of kids. Our protocols that are out there, you know, are, you know, to disinfect, clean, obviously the masking up. But also, you know, we're making plans right now in case this pandemic does grow again, because our numbers are showing they're moving in that direction. So just yesterday, my whole leadership team put our brains together. Let's reflect on what we did before. What are we going to do now? Let's start communicating with everyone to what if we had to go back to a remote situation of learning. And again, communication is very important to do that. So we kind of walked through all the scenarios on that. And guess what? It didn't take us a week or 2 weeks to come up with a plan. I got to be honest with you, with about 4 hours, we had a great plan. Not only that, we presented to all our principals in the district. We're getting ready. We're also doing assessments as far as, you know, moving campus, you know, to a remote situation. All school functions will be remote, including all extracurricular activities. School sites will be completely shut down whenever we, if we even have to do that. So a lot of these things, but really tech support, are we going to be there with the technology? Do all our students have the technology in their hands available? Do they know how to use them? All those protocols are really what we're working on, kind of like traditional school years where we did a fire drill to make sure that we're ready if it ever occurs. And that's how we're looking at things a little bit differently.
Under what circumstances would you have to close campuses?
Okay, and that's a great question, because right now the New Mexico Department of Education is defining that for us, where if we have 4 rapid cases, we will be not closing a school down, okay? And I want that to be really heard. We're not going to be closing schools down. We're going to be possibly going into back to a remote educational learning setting. So there's a difference, but we'll follow those. And basically, as soon as one rapid case comes up, you have 14 days to clear that case. Okay, because due to contamination and whatnot. But let's say within that 14 period, after, let's say, day one starts, let's say 5 days into it, when the next, the fifth day kicks in, let's say you have your second case, it's like a rolling equation. 14 days from that second case, you actually drop that first one. So it's a little bit more difficult to really go into remote setting, but it can very easily happen as well within a 2-3 day period. So that's why it's really important to follow our disinfecting cleaning protocols. And gosh, I want to really commend our custodial staff throughout Las Cruces Public Schools and really the hard work and dedication they're doing with e-misters and all kinds of hourly cleanings in high traffic areas, as well as daily cleanings after school, weekly cleanings. It's just a systematic way to assure that it's safe for our employees as well as our students on campus. And that's all our campuses.
575-646-2212, the telephone number to call. If you have a question for Las Cruces Public Schools Superintendent Ralph Ramos, we invite you to join the program today. So let's talk about athletics and performing arts under the current circumstances. I know that with the recent changes, I think a lot of folks were looking forward to a much more normal-looking fall in terms of extracurricular activities. What can you tell us about what those things are looking like right now?
Excellent question. And again, I want to one more time reflect back, where were we at a year ago? We didn't have athletics. We didn't have indoor volleyball going on. I know all our girls are getting really pumped up to play volleyball, basketball, all the cool things. But so number one is that we are going to continue with our schedules. We might have to make a little bit of modifications if we travel. Let's say on a normal, let's say we travel up to Albuquerque and we're going to play two teams. Normally we'd spend the night. Rather, we're getting creative where we have one game early in the morning, let's say 10 o'clock, and then another one in the afternoon to accommodate two soccer games, for example. But, you know, the celebration is that I know here at Las Cruces Public Schools, if we have any extracurricular activities, it could be a student council indoor happening, we're still going to host those and have them. It could be that volleyball game, we're all going to go ahead and mask up. And that goes for not only our student athletes, but also our spectators. Now, exterior, obviously the New Mexico PED tool does not require us to mask up outdoors, although we are going to try to do our best with social distancing to the greatest extent possible. And I think it just makes it a huge celebration that we've learned, and I'm so thankful that we don't have to jam pack a spring full of fall and spring sports going into the summer. And I just want to thank our student activities program from New Mexico Athletic Association and really Ernie Viramontes, his staff here with LCPS, working with all our principals and everyone to really do all these extra things for students. It makes it a great place.
Let's get back to the idea to transportation as a topic. You mentioned some of the safety measures for kids that are riding buses, including no more than two per seat, which probably would normally be about right. I don't know how many kids ride on a seat in a school bus nowadays, but I did notice that you got some new school buses in for this year. Are there enough to accommodate the needs? I know there were some delays that we were anticipating. How is it going?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've had and that's another celebration for this year. I know that STS Transportation came out in the news stating that they were short bus drivers, and they were 2 weeks prior to the school year starting. But to be honest with you, they met our needs. Now, every year, traditionally, there's logistics that need to be modified the first week of school. But I know that within the first 2 days, we made a lot of modifications. I do want to thank the STS, our partners with that, to modifying and getting our students home. There were some students that got home late after school that was a problem, but it's really not any severe problem that we don't have every school year. It is a little bit tougher now with masks, you know, because you can only sit so many students pending on each bus. So we really worked hard on that. But really, another huge celebration is that this year, the state of New Mexico will be replacing over 100 buses with Las Cruces Public Schools fleet. And the new buses will include air conditioning, which has been a priority for the district and really our school board for a long time. And that's finally going to be happening. So I want to commend our school board and really pushing for that as well.
I noticed that, and that will be a nice change. And I think the second thing that comes to my mind is the idea of seatbelts on school buses. That still doesn't seem to be within our reach. Why is that?
You know, that's probably something that, you know, the data's out there nationwide, and I don't know how many buses are actually in accidents and all of that, ma'am. But to be honest with you, I don't know, but that could be something that I can definitely research and get back to you with the experts. That's one thing that's really challenging sometimes as a superintendent. Yeah, even though I've been with this district for 28 years and know a little bit about a lot of things, but that one right there, you know, I know one thing, we do prioritize safety and belts. But that's probably a national trend. If not, we definitely would have them in there.
Yeah, I can just recall, you know, being a student, riding the bus, especially if I was at the back of the bus, you go over that speed bump and your head is definitely smashing the top of the bus. But something for a future discussion then, of course, on that. 575-646-2212 is the telephone number to call if you have a question for Las Cruces Public Schools Superintendent Ralph Ramos. And I want to move away from COVID for just a moment to talk about the change at Oregon Mountain High School. Some new signage getting ready to go up.
Absolutely. Boy, Oregon Mountain High School, I know they're really excited. I was there last week, and just the atmosphere is already changing. I know that there's a lot of graphics already up with that. Uniforms have already changed. You know, it seems for the most part that the students, you know, are going with the flow, no different than like masks. You know what? They comply. I really want to thank our students for really having the right spirit and attitude to really make that transition and that adjustment. I know there's varied opinions out there that we should have not changed it or we should have and all of that. But hey, guess what? We are the Oregon Mountain Knights, and we're proud to do that and to bring that to our community.
Let's get back to what the last year was like. We know, and I'm not sure if you really have a clear picture at this point, but that there was a certain amount of learning loss. And I don't know if this is going to be the year that the students will be able to make that up. Where is the district in terms of understanding what that learning loss looks like and making up for it?
You know, a lot of people keep asking that question, learning loss. Really, it's about learning gained. And to me, students gained a lot from this, and so did teachers. It's made us all definitely more resilient. I believe that as far as learning gaps, you know, and loss, whatever, you know, that is, that happens every school year. As soon as you go on a Christmas break, or a summer vacation or whatnot, it's like you always need to jumpstart a student, you know, and really get them going again, get that brain power going. But on the other hand, we were doing some quick informal assessments, and those are happening daily, hourly. There's so many different strategies. And I think sometimes it's hard for us adults that have been through a traditional setting where we were used to a chapter test, and when we take a chapter test, I remember teachers just telling you what went wrong, really without an explanation, and reteaching and really trying to do what's best for the kids that didn't get the concept. Those are the things that teachers are nowadays just really reflecting. Did the students get it or not? What do I need to do to change in my strategies? What do I need to do to make sure that student gains that knowledge and moves forward? But also, A lot of times students come in who are maybe a grade level or two below proficiencies. And that's where we really need to keep looking at. So as far as gains, let's stop and think about the technology and what they learn through this whole process. Right now, students can, you know, gain knowledge and actually a lot of our students were ready for college Canvas platforms, which that's exactly what aligns with NMSU today. You know, our school, our kids are ready for all of that. And just knowing how to Zoom and how to do all these different things. And really, our teachers did a super job engaging students at so many different levels that I can't even explain. But I'm very thankful because a lot of our new teachers that were already used to that technology that came into the system immediately became leaders to help coach others up with technology. And it's a matter of just immersing yourself, diving into it, and making it happen. One celebration also is that we do have a device, technology devices to our students, again, ready and available in case we do have to go back into a remote setting. But, you know, so, you know, I hope that answers your questions. I think we've had more gains than losses as far as learning, even during this pandemic.
Well, let's talk about the gains in terms of technology and where everyone started versus where we are today. Do you feel that adequate progress has been made to accommodate students who just didn't have access when this all began?
Oh, gosh. You know what? That's a great question. And with that, I really want to thank the state of New Mexico, again, also our school board members, legislation for coming together and really doing what's best for students. And I know that insufficiency of funding for, you know, items and stuff has been an issue in the past. But really, when this pandemic came together, you know, our state leaders, our school boards, everyone came together to find, you know, even federal funds to be able to provide all the technology for students. Talk about not only a laptop, but there's students who needed the internet service. We provided hotspots to individuals. And by golly, you know, probably the tough one to understand here is, you know, there's even some students and really probably, and I hope a handful throughout this whole state that also needed electricity. And generators were provided for these students to also be able to use a hotspot with electricity from a generator to service their needs with technology. So that's how dedicated we are here in New Mexico and Las Cruces. So if anybody needs anything with technology, any of our students, even staff members, please reach out to us and we're going to do the very best we can for you.
Communication is so important in a normal year, and I know it has had its challenges over the last year and a half. What do you encourage parents and families to do in order to keep open lines of communication with educators?
That's a great question, because communication is everything, and that's how we remove that anxiety and really try to calm everybody down. So communication is number one. I know that we're trying to also streamline some communication. I strongly recommend all our parents to get with their school registrars and update their cell phones, because we have a system where messages are going to be coming either from the school or the district. In fact, we're right now closely monitoring Lightning as we speak, because if we were going to have to, let's say, keep kids indoors when the buses are coming, it's dismissal time, we've got to be ready for that. So a quick way is you're going to see texts coming out to parents, an email coming out. So we need to get all that information updated. So that's one huge win. And if you haven't done that, please, I encourage you to get that updated. Number two, we have communication, of course, with our social media for all types of events, you know, those type of happenings. You know, that's really important, you know, to monitor the websites, get on their Instagram, Twitter, you know, accounts, all the Instagram stuff that's going on. That's another form. But also, this is really where your voice matters. OK, and I think this is really important. Las Cruces Public Schools has always had a district advisory council, but we're kind of redoing that. It kind of the pandemic kind of slowed that from happening. And what's going to happen is you're going to see a lot of hot topics, kind of like the questions you've been asking me here today. Or let's say there was a policy that we're going to be venting out and rolling out to this community. We want the school board to get some data and some facts and really to get a good feel of what people are thinking about a policy or a hot topic. So we're going to, I believe it's September the 9th, we're going to have our first district advisory council. Parents can attend there. It's going to be at Mesilla Park Elementary in the cafeteria. We're going to have an agenda. We're going to share a lot of information there. From there, every school principal is going to take that information also to these parent, teacher, student organization meetings or their school advisory council meetings. And then we're going to vet that out, gather all this information, and that's where we'll present it to our school board, you know, to have at least a good feel of what our community is thinking. So take advantage of that. And guess what? Parent, teacher, student organizations, parents have a voice, students have a voice, teachers have a voice. We all have a voice. We all have to come together. It's collaboration to really do what's best for kids together and bringing up, you know, and having conversations, building dialogue to do what's best for kids every day.
Las Cruces Public Schools Superintendent Ralph Ramos, our guest today on Voice of the Public. It's 141-575-646-2212 is the telephone number to call if you have a question for us today. I think the hot topic for the school district before the pandemic was Columbia Elementary School. And what progress has been made on that situation?
Excellent question. One thing I have to say is that our school board, was really looking at the data and again, you know, and trying to figure out what we're going to do. And I know one of the things was that initially when they moved Columbia Elementary to Centennial High School, parents and students were told that we were going to have it resolved by this fall, right now, today. And obviously our school board saw that that wasn't going to happen. Okay, so we gave really all the students at Columbia Elementary who are currently at Centennial the choice to really go to about any elementary that they prefer. So we gave them that choice. It did reduce the numbers a little bit just because we are having, you know, populations growing, you know, at that school. So we had to accommodate both the high school needs. We had 8 teachers that were floating. And so anyways, after this summer, we did accommodate them with 3 more classrooms, which really helped out on both ends. But to make a long story short, here's the celebration is that we just met with the state. It did get approved. The funding, we are going to be demolishing the original Columbia here, hopefully within, the next 6 to 8 months. And then we will have a school opening up on the original campus on 2024. So that's pretty much in a nutshell what's going on with that.
All right. Well, thank you for the update. And I'd like to take a moment, although this news isn't brand new, but to congratulate the Las Cruces Public Schools Teacher of the Year, Robbie Berry, and give you an opportunity to offer your congratulations to Robbie and other educators that you feel have really shined during the course of this pandemic.
Thank you so much for that. And really, the Berry Bunch, Mrs. Berry, so full of energy. And gosh, when I visit with her, and I consider myself full of energy, she really energizes me just being around her. She's all about innovation, talk about really making every one of her students feel like, you know, they're a champion, which they are. But she just has a special touch with all the strategies and things that she does in her classroom. But what an incredible teacher. I just can't say enough for her to be selected as Teacher of the Year. Just an outstanding example of what a teacher should look like. But I will tell you one thing. That goes for a lot of teachers in Las Cruces. I've been on those selection committees. And gosh, just the talent that's here is amazing. Not only that, but they're leaders is what they are. Teachers are leaders in the classroom. They're heroes to students. They make connections every day. They're the ones that understand what's going on with students, with, you know, simple daily warm-up checks. How are you feeling? Thumbs up, mediocre, or I'm not feeling very well. And when you get those kids that aren't feeling very well, they're the ones that take the initiative to really get them the support that they need. You know, kids come to us. By the way, we have 25,000 kids. Las Cruces Public Schools serves at least over 50,000 people. That's half the people in this city. We're a huge organization. We have, if you take out the federal organizations in this state, we're the fifth to sixth largest in the state of New Mexico. And that says a lot. We have a lot of students, a lot of people coming our way, and we're really trying to work and meet their needs. And that's who's in the front lines working with students. It's our teachers. It's our EAs. Even really the classified, our custodians have all changed their styles on how they engage and work with students. And it's really about a learning family coming together to meet their needs, because students come with a lot of stuff every day and they're all different. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it exciting. It's really nice as a superintendent to come in and to be able to support, needs for students and staff to make great things happen.
And on a personal note, I it's not uncommon for us to talk about superintendents coming and going from school districts, but the circumstances under which you were elevated to this position were just so very difficult. What was that transition like for you?
Emotional. I can't help but to stumble for words with that. Dr. Trujillo was very motivating to me, mentor, definitely. She touched a lot of people. Obviously, her caring, nurturing that she did in our district was extremely needed, for just a transition of a different type of leader. She impacted so many people in so many ways, and it was tough to come in that first day, that first week, really that first month. My staff, and not only my staff here in my office, but this district was grieving. We're still grieving over her loss. It's hard. I know last week we're getting finally all the Dr. Karen Trujillo building, here at central office, the name fixing to get changed. And it's tough. Not only that, I know their family and just what they go through and what they're going through every day still. And I just, her husband, Ben's a good friend of mine. And it's just, that she was just a very instrumental, huge impact to this whole community in so many positive ways. But it was difficult. I know that driving up, it said superintendent's parking. Today we put back that week, I said, I can't park there. I'm still parking in the visitor's parking lot. I don't mind walking, but I have so much respect for her that, really that's my motivator. When I come to school or to a central office every day, I see her picture there, her parking spot. And I just tell her that I'm going to do the very best I can every day, because being in this seat is like no other seat I've ever experienced, and very few people get to experience. But it's very challenging. And with that, I want to thank Las Cruces and this whole community and really the state, all the warm wishes and condolences that were shared, and really in every meeting that I've been to. I have some huge shoes to fill. And to me, that's what motivates me every day to really do what's best for kids, because at the forefront, that's who she cared about, was the kids and making sure that we meet their needs every day.
I know there would be a lot of people who would say that it was a blessing in disguise that she didn't serve very long at the state level as the Secretary of Education, because it would have been a benefit to Las Cruces Public Schools. There have been since another change at that level. Mr. Steinhaus taking over now for Ryan Stewart, who stepped down. And obviously there have been a lot of changes in the cabinet, and this has been just such a difficult year for so many people operating at that level. What concerns have you had along the way in terms of those changes at that level? And I know just a few months ago, you know, a deadline missed that meant millions of dollars in federal funding left on the table. Are those things filtering down to the local level in any way?
Well, you know what? I think we're in great hands. And I know that we have two weekly meetings with all the superintendents in the state. The leadership that we have also, you know, that we've had from Secretary Stewart has really been incredible. I think he's had a great team. He still has a great team there. I'm very fortunate to also have just hired my new chief of staff, Dr. Tim Hand, who came from the state level as well. So I've been very fortunate. But I will tell you one thing, that during this transition, we did get to hear Dr. Steinhaus's address, and he brought three key points that really align with my vision as well. And number one was, we need to get kids in school and keep them there. And that's what we talked about today. You know, so that's easy. Number two, we have to implement our schools safe to keep open. You know, everyday safety was a big one, which I align with that definitely. And then his third one, we have to stick to our knitting. Most of us are not medical experts. Listen to data and, you know, and the experts and let them guide us. And that's kind of where I'm going with that. And then he did say one last thing. And to me, this is where I think our whole community has to come together, is take your hand and put it on the known of drama. Turn it down. Techniques to lower the volume. Give them the opportunity to be heard. As we switch to a new strategy, there is always issues. Add the calmness. And that's exactly why I talked about our district advisory council, the voice. Really, if there's some hot topics and you strongly want to engage, gosh, email me, call me. You know, let's sit down, let's listen, let's talk together. And I always want to see what's out there. And we have a lot of medical expert parents out there as well that do have some background. You know, bring that to the table. But I don't have a crystal ball here trying to figure out what people are thinking. And one thing I got to be honest with you, and, you know, that whole social media, it's so easy to take a pop shot at people, you know, and really degrade things so simply. And to me, really, let's just get together and let's talk about it. And again, you know, let's be open and transparent with each other. And to me, that's what I honor about Dr. Steinhaus and what he's bringing to the table as far as his background and knowledge of being a superintendent. He knows what our state needs are. I could tell you right now, we need some salary schedules, both for classified and teachers aligned. We need the funding to help us get there. Teachers, custodians, all of these people work extra hard for kids. And that's one thing that we need to get parents to really rally that one up. And let's get behind legislation and let's make that happen, because it's headed our way. We lose teachers every day, and they give their heart and soul. To me, that's where it belongs. And you know, I know a lot of people look at our unions and all of that. I got to be honest with you. I'm really trying to embrace their needs with employees and helping to get us all together there. And that's going to be my huge goal, to really, when teachers are happy, students are going to be happy. And that's when the learning is going to take place.
What are the staffing needs of the district right now?
That's a great question. In fact, I have some data right here. We have, 30 vacancies going on in the district. And the good thing is that we pretty much have them all filled with a long-term sub till we fill those. But when you look at a district with, so many, employees, we have about 3,500 employees. I believe we're at about 1,800 teachers. You know, that's really a low mark. And, you know, we're all really scrambling. We're also having job fairs that are continuing on. We're trying to recruit others from other states as well to come in. We're working really close in hand also with our bus company to keep those numbers up. I know that they have three over now, but in one day we may lose, 10 staying home because they're sick or whatever. So we got to be ready and always planning ahead. But it's about our community working together. So, you see anybody out there wanting a teaching job, have them look up at our website, come in, and then, again, let's just work together to do what's best for kids.
Do you see the requirement for a vaccination in the near future for teachers?
You know what? I think, I don't think I see a mandate, coming. And I hope we don't have to mandate that, because quite honestly, there's so many different needs and so many opinions that, do the best you can. I think right now the celebration is 70% of our staff members are vaccinated. And when you look at kids, I believe there was like 40% of our kids that were already vaccinated that are eligible to be vaccinated. So, those are celebrations. That's one of those topics that we can debate all day, both sides of the fence.
But not impending at this time.
Correct. No, right now it's pretty much voluntary, and that's how we get our data. I know that, teachers are self-wellness checking as well. We do have our thermometers basically checking people as they come in electronically. I forgot the name of what that was, but that's kind of where we're at right now.
Well, with the few minutes that we have left, let's focus on what parents should expect if there is a case at their school or if their own child starts to exhibit symptoms.
You bet. Well, let's start with their own, because again, it starts at home. You do a wellness check on your student. If they have a temperature, they're just not feeling good. To me, that's really important to just leave them at home, communicate with your school, email, call them, let them know that they're going to be gone. Email your teachers, for their homework, all those type of things that, normally happen. We work with everyone on that. As far as if, again, we do have to go into remote setting, we have some great protocols in place. Notifications will come from the district leadership, to all the principals. School administration will be notified, and the guidance, the resources will be provided to notify staff, the students, and the community. We're wanting some consistency here for every time, if it does happen, that we're all going to follow the same protocols. That's one thing that I strongly believe in, is having structures. Our district leadership will work with school leaders to move and remote learning. We're going to be there to support. All these cool things are going to be happening. All school functions, if we do go to remote, including all extracurricular activities, will be impacted. That's probably the hard part, because that means practice will not be able to take place, let's say, for football. But guess what? Remote. The football coach can still have a Zoom meeting after school, practice, look at film, do all the creative things that teachers do to meet their needs, again, even on extracurricular happenings. We don't even want PTSO meetings to stop. We have Zooming capabilities and all those type of things to do. So all that's still going to be continuing. Hopefully we don't have to go there. But I hope I answered your question on that, ma'am.
Well, and how about if a student does have to quarantine? What does that look like? Does that require a positive test?
It does, yes, ma'am. If a student does test positive, they will have to self-quarantine and then through that duration of their time, and then they can return back. On the other hand, if they get tested throughout whatever, let's say a kid goes home because they're not feeling well, they get tested and show that it's negative, they'll be able to come back. And that's, some of those, some parents choose not to get them tested. And that's totally, again, we respect them. We're here to work with people. And again, this pandemic's new to everyone. We haven't had a manual that tells you how to do everything. So we're living and learning together, and that goes right along with our our staff core values this year of creating a culture for living and learning in Las Cruces Public Schools.
At this point, it sure doesn't seem very new, but it is changing all the time. And we never know when something new is around the corner. And obviously, that creates a lot of anxiety for many people who just don't know what to expect from the future. We just saw the death of four educators in Florida, all within a couple of days' time. So obviously, our hopes are that it is a safe school year for all, and that everybody is able to continue that in-person learning at the same time. What are your hopes for this school year?
Well, my hopes, number one, is to not have any one of us lose our lives over this whole pandemic. And that's why it's been tough to make some difficult decisions, and that's why we're trying to mask up. We're trying to be very transparent with cases, trying to, contact trace and do everything that's in place for that.
Thank you so much, Superintendent Ralph Ramos of Las Cruces Public Schools, for your time today. We appreciate you being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, and God bless everyone.
Intermezzo is on the way next after NPR News. Leora Zeitlin is off today. And I'll see you back here for All Things Considered this afternoon at 4:00.